This podcast is brought to you by NetBank. Whether you're thinking of franchising your business, buying into or revamping your franchise, stay tuned for tips on how to grow your brand and portfolio.
Welcome to NetBank Franchising Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Schwinn. Today we have Jerry Thomas. Jerry is the CEO of Krispy Kreme South Africa. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Jerry, thank you so much for your time. Now, I want to know, for starters, how does somebody with a BA in English and law end up running a Krispy Kreme? How did that happen?
It happened due to the fact that I was born into a family that have been restaurateurs and in the food business. So basically, my pram used to sit in a restaurant when my parents were looking after me as a small baby and then as a toddler. So I was born in the restaurant industry. And when I graduated out of university, it was more natural to me and more ideal for me to be with a family in the restaurant business. And then that's how I veered off into franchising and eventually with Krispy Kreme.
Oh, wow. And so you mentioned that your family had a restaurant. What kind of restaurant? Was it a quick service restaurant? Was it a steak? Is it still in existence?
No, so that was in the early days. I was born in Zimbabwe and my parents had a sit-down restaurant. It was more like a cafe restaurant, trading early hours of the morning till late at night. So we were used to those onerous hours as associated with the industry. And then when we immigrated and came through to South Africa, they carried on in that industry, but more in a coffee shop concept, which at least gave a bit of lifestyle because trading only during the week and not trading at night.
Okay. Did you ever, as a child, had to work in the cafe or the restaurant?
I did. Yes, for sure.
And what were you doing? Were you helping to mop the floor? Were you the waiter or the cashier or all of the above?
Sure. Got to think back a long time. It was more like just helping out with my father and sometimes with my mother, just from an administrative point of view and you know, being behind the counter and seeing that everything was in order. And then as I grew older, I would certainly get involved in the with the team, you know, cleaning up and setting up. And then when we came through here and I was at off to school and I had my own way of getting around and my own transport, I used to help in the business here. I used to go up and open up in the mornings and then my parents would come through later and then I would go head off to university and support them in that way.
I see. And then was that would you say that growing up watching your parents run a business that helped somewhere somehow shape the way you saw money, the way you view business?
Certainly did. I think the starting point more than the money and it was just the work ethic and the realization that when you're in business and from an entrepreneurial point of view and a vested interest point of view and it's your livelihood, you need to eat, sleep and drink the business and be involved in it day and night in order to make ends meet and make a living.
Okay, so tell me further on, I believe the Krispy Kreme story was somebody from the US Trade Commission notified some kind of opening or bidding?
Correct. It's exactly that. I was involved in a business. We were franchisors for a restaurant and a coffee shop brand that we sold on to Famous Brands in late 2012. I was one of the directors and shareholders of this business. And the basis of the sale was that we were taken out from an operational point of view. We were, I was serving a restraint of trade as were the other shareholders. And, I had decided to move on from that business and when I was under that restraint of trade and not much was happening, which is similar to the current lockdown period that we're in, I received a call from the commercial desk at the US Trade Commission from the Johannesburg Consulate, based at the Johannesburg Consulate in Sandton, advising that Krispy Kreme were looking at entering the market. That was in did I know the brand Krispy Kreme, which fortunately I did. I had been fortunate to have come across the brand in the UK and I knew the brand very well, and I knew the fact that it was a brand of difference. So yeah, the call was opportune, the timing was right, and that was the beginning of the journey.
Were you surprised to get that call? Because they phoned you personally, did they not?
They phoned me personally, and you know, I was always the point of contact on most correspondence in our previous business in terms of franchising and anything to do with the franchising side of the business, landlords, banks, finance houses, etc., franchisees, potential franchisees. So I would assume from a search and checking out point of view, I was the name that came up. So it did. The phone call came to me. I have business partners. So obviously then the next step was just to disclose to the business partners what the potential was out there. And then as a united team with me heading it up, we went full force to get and bring the brand to South Africa.
And tell me something, when you got the call, how long did it take for the team to decide, okay, this is what we want to do? Because this is not like buying a t-shirt and a pair of shoes. This is huge.
Yeah, so from the day we got the call roughly to the day we opened the business was about just short of 22-month period. So initially it was just, we got the phone call from the Trade Commission, and we were fortunate to have a meeting with Krispy Kreme Global when they came to South Africa to do their due diligence on the market and on potential franchisees, which was, I wasn't the only person that got the call, obviously, from a South African potential franchisee point of view. They canvassed a whole lot of industry players. So from that period, we were shortlisted. At that time, in terms of Krispy Kreme Global's journey, there were a lot of changes. So every time I was interacting with someone on the international franchising side, it was always a new person, which was made it a bit of a challenge. But they seemed to have quite a detailed process, and you know, in terms of whoever took over and whoever was interacting with us was always up to speed on what our thoughts were and how we viewed everything. And before we were shortlisted and before we got into any contract negotiations, we were invited to their 2015 conference as guests. And
was this in America?
In the Philippines. It was in the Philippines. It was the international conference, okay. In the Philippines. And we were invited as guests before we got into any real nitty-gritty. But I think that's definitely from our side, that's what made us feel comfortable that this was the right brand to bring into South Africa, from the people we were associated with in terms of franchisors, the other international franchisees who were, 25, 26 markets at that time, and being at a conference, and they're all happy and they all spoke really highly of the brand custodians. It just made it simpler to be able to go into a process of negotiation.
Wow. And you said there was a few from South Africa that were shortlisted. Do you know how many people applied? And how many people were shortlisted? How many in total?
I don't know how many people applied, and I'm not sure on the exact shortlisting. What I do know, though, is when we were doing a due diligence on Krispy Kreme International from an operational point of view and just understanding how the operations work, and again, that was before any contracts were signed, but we were in a period of negotiation. We did that due diligence. We did in the UK, in the Bristol market. And I know that week that we were there, it was ourselves and another South African entity that came in after us. But I don't know who they are.
Okay. And then, if I'm not mistaken, the first Krispy Kreme store opened up in 2015 in November, and it was in Rosebank. Is that correct?
Correct. So it opened on the 25th of November in 2015 at the Zone in Rosebank. And it is a factory store. In other words, it's a donut producing store that makes product for itself in full view of guests. And that is conceptually one of the points of difference of Krispy Kreme from an international donut brand point of view, concept point of view.
Okay, and I believe that there was a lot of pre-opening hype. Can you just take us through that perhaps the week before the opening? How did you create that hype? Because I remember it was all over the news.
Sure. So this is not something that we conceptualized. This is best practice that Krispy Kreme have been using to launch markets all over the world. And the primary focus from a marketing point of view when launching Krispy Kreme into a new region is to get product in hand. So although we opened the market on the 25th of November 2015, from a production point of view, we were ready 6 weeks before that. And we strategically dropped about 100,000 donuts into the Johannesburg market, and specifically the areas surrounding the Rosebank store, to get those potential consumers to try something unique. Obviously, the people who were fortunate enough to travel knew the product, but although the brand name was known, it was a very, very minuscule percentage of the population that had tried the product. So we got product into hand, into educational institutions, into religious gatherings, into office parks, into doing drops on traffic light corners. So we really got a lot of product in hand.
100,000 donuts. 100,000
donuts.
Jeez,
correct,
like,
yes.
Wow, that's
so we
insane.
Created this hype and this this is the product, which is obviously the original glaze being our signature, and people getting to taste it, and then went on a campaign to get the first person to line up and avail of a prize of a dozen donuts a week for a year, and then sliding down to I think it was about the 250th person also availing of a prize. So what happened there is we create this hype of, you know, line up and get rewarded, and we started seeing people lining up, if I'm not mistaken, 3 days before, sleeping over, camping out. So the camp out on the last night, we had over 400 people sleeping in the mall at Rosebank.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, because that's insane.
That's how we created the hype.
That is just insane.
Yeah, it is insane. It is insane, and thankfully we've been able to keep that up with all our openings. So when we opened regionally in KZN at Gateway in 2016, and then last year at the V&A Waterfront, our flagship, we had the same uptake in terms of people sleeping over and winning that prize. So it conceptually we create a hype, and people bring people. You know, when people see people and they see people, they want to know what's going on and they want to be part of it. And it's important to note, and this might be the opportune time now, Krispy Kreme is not a donut and coffee brand. Krispy Kreme is an experience. And that point of difference and the fact that we're an experience gives us that opportunity to create situations like the camp outs and the hype. And it's that experience that then keeps on sustaining the brand, the longevity, and most importantly, guest loyalty.
All right. So speaking about the company culture, so let's say when somebody wants to join the Krispy Kreme family, do all the staff, doesn't matter if it's entry level or senior staff, do they all go through the same training program so they know that this is the culture, this is how we make our food, this is what we believe in? Or do you have different training programs for different levels of work?
So we have different programs in terms of the specifics, in terms of being able to execute your duties in terms of your job description. So the finance guys would have a different program to the operational guys, to the production guys. However, from an induction point of view and from a overall welcoming point of view, the process is identical. It's certainly about understanding the spirit and the ethos of the brand and our purpose and what we exist.
Okay. So walk us through about the cultures. I mean, for somebody that's thinking about, oh, maybe I should look into joining the franchise or work at Krispy Kreme, what can they expect culture-wise?
From joining the franchise, we own all the stores and that's legislated. So we don't have rights to sub-franchise, but from a prospective employee and someone joining the Krispy Kreme family, we exist for the following purpose, that we believe that everyone deserves a happy place. We're only the best quality is Krispy Kreme. And just moving on from that is that we want to create a culture that looks at hiring the attitude and training the skill. In other words, we look at people that really, really behave well and fit into our ethos and our way of doing things, that we always consider others, and then it's up to us to give the prospective employees the tools to be able to perform well, and that translates down to our valued guests also enjoying a happy place and being our environment. I spoke about experience is vital in retailing today. If you're not able to provide an experience, I believe you're on the back foot. And then with only the best being Krispy Kreme quality, we believe from a cultural point of view that everything that we do from A to Z has to be to the best of our ability, which obviously then again translates to the products and to the guest experience. And I believe that piece will hold us in good stead, especially now in terms of the unprecedented crisis we're going through.
Running such a big operation, you must have your hands full and everybody needs your attention. So how do you actually stay sane? I mean, do you enjoy workouts? Do you read books? Do you go for walks? Do you play golf? How do you actually unwind?
So I think just as a starting point, I'm very fortunate to have, from an executive point of view, we're very fortunate to have awesome, capable people around us. So although it's a big organization and there's a lot that's happening, we've got a lot of people that know their roles well and take the pressure off us. But certainly I work out every day. I get to work, quite relaxed, after having exercised. My best part of my week, besides coming to work and seeing what we've accomplished and creating joy in terms of our staff and our guests, is being with my family and being with my two boys that are very active and always playing sports. So I do definitely have time to be on the kids' sports field and unwind and have a very important balance, which obviously makes me want to come back to work every single day and achieve more.
No, I think that's awesome. I remember me as a kid, the happiest moments are when my mom and dad came to watch me play sports. I'm sure your kids will appreciate that too.
They appreciate it, but Charles, I appreciate it more. I think that's definitely, they're living my dream. So I was, as a kid, your dream's always to be a top sportsman and be on TV. So I'm living my dream through my kids.
Well, did you say they're being on TV, like playing sports?
No, but well, not they're not on TV, but they're at that age where you believe that one day you're going to be a sportsman, and that is their dream. So if you say to them, what do you want to do? No, I want to be both professional soccer players, my eldest son is in an academy here. But they still have that dream, they still believe that that's what they're going to do. So I share that dream with them because I had that dream as a youngster.
Oh, I'm sure you among millions of boys had that dream. And
correct.
I wish them the best. You never know. You never know. Eh?
You never know. You never know. Maybe they don't have to be in the rigmarole of business. Maybe they can be famous and earn their living like that. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, only time will tell. But Jerry Thomas, CEO of Krispy Kreme, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you enjoy this podcast, please download, please share. Until next time, goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by NetBank. Stay tuned for more on franchising or search NetBank Franchising for valuable information. See money differently. NetBank.